Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, I love a good story. On my phone, I have an app. It's a podcast app. And on that podcast app, I can create my own library. So I find these programs that I really want to listen to, and they're downloaded automatically. So one of them is called StoryCorps. And it's a story where two or more people who have a connection come together. Usually they're related, a parent and a child, grandparent, grandchild, or friends. And during the taping, one asks a question of the other with a part of their life that she or he has never asked that person before. And this is being recorded, so they openly, honestly answer that question. And then it's sometimes aired across their airwaves, and sometimes, and then it's always put in the Library of Congress, where those tapings are kept for all of us to listen to. The other podcast that I really enjoy is called The Moth. And The Moth is also on National Public Radio. And The Moth has stages all across our country. They have one in Chicago. They have a couple of them. We saw one in New Orleans a few years ago. And people, just ordinary people like you and I, come up. And we have the option, we can tell a story about something in our lives. And it's always based on a theme that night. Well, there's a winner, and they pick the winner, and then there's these competitions for who's got the best story. And then these are aired every week. There's The Moth. You can listen to it. So they're great stories. Sometimes they make me laugh, sometimes cry, sometimes both in the same story. But I love a good story. Well, today we finish a four-part series on the book of Psalms. Psalms speaks to a wide range of emotions that we experience. The struggle and joys of life, the fears and anxieties. Some describe a journey, others a heartbreak, and others are praise-centered. And many wonder, where is God in the midst of this? Or they may proclaim how God is at work and what God has done. Well, this week in Psalm 40, our psalmist doesn't tell us the specifics of his story, but here's what he does convey. Life is really, really bad, and he was in a pit. He calls it a miry bog. And when I, in my imagination, I kind of think of quicksand. When you step in and it kind of sucks you in and you can't pull out, and the more you struggle, the deeper you go, and you just can't get out yourself. You need some help. Well, the writer cries out to God, and he writes that God heard his cry and helped him out of that pit, that quicksand, to stand back on solid ground. And as a result, he recognized that God was at work in his life. And he has a new song to sing. His heart has lifted, and he has new hope. So just as the psalmist experienced, we too may have experiences that are hard and difficult. Perhaps our lives are not where we had hoped they would be, or thought they would be. Perhaps it's a struggle in a relationship with someone, or we wonder about our purpose or our work. Perhaps something outside of our control has changed and we feel overwhelmed or devastated by it. Sometimes we feel that what is happening at this, something is happening at this moment, and we wonder, where is God in it? Has God forgotten me? Why is life so difficult? Why am I in this situation? Why is my loved one sick? Why am I sick? And those answers don't always come easily, and sometimes they don't come at all. But let me assure you that God is present and God is working. Perhaps not in the ways we're expecting or in the time frame we want, but God is there. When you were baptized in the waters of baptism, you were linked with Jesus. God made a claim on your life to always be present, to be in relationship with each of you. But God doesn't dictate my story or your story. We have decision-making power, and we suffer consequences for choices that we make and that others make, of which we have no control. And sometimes good things happen, and sometimes bad things happen in our lives. But in the midst of that, God is always wanting life for us, loving us, and seeks to walk with us. And it's through eyes of faith that we can make sense of the experiences we have. So I have my sunglasses here, and I put these on outside. They help to limit the glare that comes. They're a brown tint, so they help the greens be a little more vibrant. And these particular ones are readers, so I can read from here, which is really nice as my eyes get older. As children of God, we have glasses. They're invisible glasses. And they give us eyes of faith. But to put these on takes intentionality, just like my sunglasses. If I leave them at home, I can't access them. But if I put them on, I can see differently. Well, with our eyes of faith, when we put those on, we can see differently. But it means our relationship with God is important, and we spend time with God to hear God's heartbeat and the desires of God's heart, just as God knows the desires of our heart. It is then that we're able to make sense of our story and our experiences. And our stories are sacred stories. So what do I mean by that? Well, sacred simply means something considered worthy of spiritual respect or devotion, something connected with God. So a sacred place, a place can be sacred, or a sacred moment where it was just very special. Our lives are connected to God. God, the Creator, who created all things and all beings and made each of us unique. This is the same God who claims us as his own child in the waters of baptism. We are sacred beings. And this comes from nothing that we have done. It is all a gift of God. And as we live our lives experience after experience, because God is present, our sacred stories then become sacred. They may not feel that way sometimes, but they are. And as part of our work then is to be intentional about recognizing these stories with our eyes of faith. These are invisible glasses. This means seeking an intentional relationship with God and reflecting on God's work in our life and in our world. And this is part of how we mature in our faith journey. Our psalmist today understands that as children of God, we walk a different path than the rest of the world. He sees and understands things differently. And he writes, "I delight to do your will, O God. Your law is within my heart." God is the core of his being, and he finds joy in that. And from that grounding and centeredness, he lives his life. And then he has so much inside that he can't hold it in, and he needs to share it. Well, we are all on a journey, a different journey for each of us. And we need God to help us grow and mature in our faith. And we also need each other. We need each other to reflect upon and process our stories, to bring clarity. We need one another to listen and to ask questions and reflect, to help us go deeper. We need one another's stories to find common ground and to become more empathetic and to gain wisdom. We need one another to learn from one another. And we need each other for support and encouragement. Perhaps you are aware of some moments in your story where you're consciously aware of God's movement and working. Or maybe you're not. So here are some questions to get you to think, to get you started to think. You may want to jot one or two of these down to consider. So where and with whom have you felt loved? When you were in the middle of a difficult time, can you remember a moment of peace? What was going on and what did it feel like? When was someone kind to you? What was the situation and when did you notice? When was there healing in your life? Could be physical, emotional, relational, spiritual. And think of a time that you were at peace and describe it. Or think of a time that you experienced forgiveness, either as one needing forgiveness or the one forgiving another. Or think of a moment you helped someone that truly made a difference for them. These are sacred moments, part of our sacred stories, and God is present in them. Now, if you're a listener to a story, hold these stories with care. These are often fragile moments, and it takes courage to share. And keep the stories close unless you have permission to share, because it is the sharer's story. So I have two stories that I want to share with you today. first is from my own story. And when I was a little girl, my mother usually had two or three jobs. And one of those, she was a printer, and one of those was in our basement. She had her own print shop. And she worked long, long hours. And my father did the grocery shopping. On Thursdays was grocery shopping day, and he would bring in the groceries and put them away. And then after that, we would have frozen pizza, because Thursday night was frozen pizza night. And I remember one Thursday, I was helping my dad. I must have been, late elementary age. And I was helping put the groceries away, and there was a roll of paper towels, and we were out of paper towels. So I put them on the paper towel roll. And my mom came up. Well, apparently I put on the paper towels backwards. And she was not in a good mood that day. And when she went to get a paper towel and it was on backwards, she loudly stated, "Whoever put that on was stupid, it's backwards." Well, my mom and I didn't have a particularly close relationship, and that didn't help. And symbolically, all the stuff of our relationship that wasn't good piled into that moment and continued to. As an adult, I was attending a course. I'm a social worker, and so we have continuing education hours to take periodically. And so I was attending a course on forgiveness, and I had no idea of the personal implications that that would have on my life. In that morning session, as the instructor spoke, this incident came to my memory. And I'd been holding on to it for many years, and it finally time to let it go. Our instructor had encouraged us as one option to write a letter to the person, describing what happened and how it felt. So that day at lunch, I wrote my mom a letter about the paper towel roll, what she said, how it felt, and how it impacted me. And it led to more and more feelings that just poured out onto that paper. I never gave her that letter. I'm sure she didn't even remember the incident. But it helped me to cleanse me of what I was holding on to. And in that story, I see God moving us towards healing and reconciliation and our relationship. And we became closer after that. And often when people talk to me about a problem in a relationship, whether it's present or past, I encourage them to write a letter to the person, to release what is being held inside and to let it go. They may want to share it with the person and talk through it or not. It's their choice. Because of my story and experience, perhaps it helps another. It certainly made a big difference for me. A second story I want to share, I came across this past week, and I was reading a magazine called Presence, and this particular magazine is for spiritual directors. And the woman that wrote this article was a spiritual director and a social worker, so I automatically felt a commonality with her. But she had this particular interest in working with people at homeless shelters. And she tells them an experience in a shelter where she met a man that had long hair, it was kind of the tattooed biker type of guy. And in their encounters, when she would watch him, he would be short-tempered and curt with the other guests. But as she began to connect with him, he began to tell a story. It was a story of a child abused in a church and had lost all his faith. And as a young man, he endured some serious trauma. Later in life, he met someone who had become like family to him and helped to bring him back into relationship with God. And what she noticed as he told his story was that he shined when he spoke of recovery and connection. And in retelling his story, he came to see that as he was healed in his relationship, his service to others had become a way for him to connect back to his faith. And he became more kind and a more helpful member of that community. On one hand, his life situation hadn't changed. He was still homeless. On the other hand, everything had changed. When he could recount his story, he could see God was at work loving him and healing him. And it transformed him into a different person. Our stories are sacred because God is present in them. What makes up my story and your story may help us and may help others. So I encourage you to take some time to think about your story. Use some of the questions that you saw on the screen. If you're an internal processor like me, you may want to reflect and write some journaling things down before you talk to somebody. If you're wired as an external processor, you probably need somebody to talk to and talk it through. Either way is fine. Just don't keep it in. Find someone to share with. Take turns listening to one another. To be the speaker and to share your sacred story is a blessing. To be the listener, the one who holds that sacred story carefully, is a blessing as well. As you begin to reflect and tell your story, using those eyes of faith, you will uncover hidden treasures. And begin to share these with others within our community, with your families, and beyond. They are powerful, sacred stories. May you go out today grounded in the God who loves and created you, and Jesus Christ who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit that resides deep within you, to be aware of your sacred story, to hold it, and to share it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.